In the early 70s, 1971 perhaps, I was pastoring in the panhandle of Florida, New Harmony Baptist Church. We had seen revival in that area of Florida. It started in Caney Creek Baptist Church and spread over to New Harmony Baptist Church, which at that time didn't even have a pastor. And God orchestrated everything as I had left Tennessee Temple Schools and moved down there to continue my studies in the North Florida Bible College. And in revival, after we'd been there for some time, Caney Creek Baptist Church had a revival. I don't even remember who was preaching. I'm not sure all that he preached on that night, but that night I do know that he preached in his sermon. He said something about Noah, the ark, and the flood. It was such a crowd that night. God had really blessed. The building was packed. People were in the choir. The steps like this, people were sitting on the steps. I was sitting to my right on a step during that service. And God really began to deal with my heart about the horror of the flood and the severity of God's judgment on sin. And God is a holy God, and the wages of sin is death. And I prayed and asked God, Lord, help me to kind of have some idea of what it might have been like over the next few days and weeks. God birthed something in my heart. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. If you've been here, you know we've been preaching on Noah and the ark. There are passages of scriptures that I love to read in the Bible. They bless me. They encourage me. They speak to me. And there are passages in the Bible that I do not personally like to read because of the solemn nature of it. And what I'm going to read to you now, I have read to you over the last few weeks, but I want to do it once again this morning in your hearing. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children of them, and the same became mighty men, which are of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look down at verse 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. Look over to chapter 7 and begin at verse number 9. There went into the ark two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same, were all the fountains of the deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Turn over and look at verse number 19 in that same chapter. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and cattle and beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life. For all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing, and the fowls of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, I ask God, the Holy Ghost of God, as always, to speak this morning. Lord, I bow before you and acknowledge there's no good thing in me. But God, I pray for the Spirit of the living God to speak to my heart, to the heart of all of these gathered here in the auditorium. And God, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would move even in the media audience. God, give me clearness of thought, the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God. Help me to say what you want me to say and not to say anything that you don't put in my heart. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In that day, if you've been living, you probably would have doubted or questioned or even denied what God had said. God said that they are all wicked. Every thought, every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. I think about our current day of television and all that's on the TV. Almost every one of your favorite shows on TV, most of the main characters you'd probably not want in your house. They all have affairs, they all drink, they all do different things that are not Christian, and yet they are the heroes of the day. If you'd lived in that day, you'd have thought you were okay. If you'd lived in that day, you would have thought your family was okay. If you'd lived in that day, you'd thought your neighbors, your friends, that everything was okay. But God said it wasn't. And God said, the end of all flesh has come before me. I want to introduce to you today a man by the name of John Smith. John is a good man. He's a hardworking man. He loves his wife, and he loves his little girl. He takes good care of them. He spends time with them. He's a good neighbor. He's a hard worker. He's a good man. He believes there's a God, but he doesn't have any kind of relationship with him. He has no time for God. He does drink alcohol, and he does occasionally get drunk, but that's okay. That's the way everybody else lives. He's even had a couple of affairs and been unfaithful to his wife, but it didn't mean anything. And that's just kind of what goes on in their society. On this particular morning, John comes down and greets his wife and his little girl. He has his breakfast, and then he gets his lunch pail and heads off toward town. He goes through his little village that he's going to go through and go to where he works at. But as he approaches town on that day, it's different. There's a great crowd gathered, and he hears this uproar, people shouting and yelling, and it seems that there's one voice that's louder than the others. And as he approaches, in the middle of that crowd assembled, there's a man, and he's crying out. And he said, God said he's going to destroy everything in whose nostrils is the breath of life. And every one of you will die because of sin. But God is a God of grace. Join me. Come with me. Repent of your sin. John Smith, with curiosity, gathers into the crowd, makes his way to the forefront. He listens as that man talks about what God has said he's going to do. And strangely, something comes over John Smith. His pulse rate's elevated. He begins to just think. He begins to cast an eye toward the heaven and wondering, what is he talking about? Water falling out of the sky. He gets, even before he knows it, he's out in the front line, almost in the center of the crowd. And the man who's preaching looks at him and he said, "Sir, would you join me? Please join me in the ark and be saved." Down the way, somebody hollers and said, "John, go, go with him, go with him." And then they all begin to laugh. And John Smith says, "I don't know who you are. I don't want to hear anything you've got to say. I don't understand what you're doing." The crowd begins to laugh and make fun. John Smith backsteps into the crowd, but his heart's still racing. He exits the crowd and on his way to work, he's thinking, "You know, I know that my grandparents talked about God. They talked about what God could do and how God created and what God could do." He thinks about all those things. He goes to work that day. As Norma goes back home, when he goes in that afternoon, he sits at the kitchen table. His wife's busied herself in the kitchen. And he said, "Honey, the strangest thing happened to me today." And she said, "What?" He said, "I saw something I'd never seen before. As I went through our little village," said, "there was a man preaching." She said, "Noah." He said, "Who's Noah?" "Oh, he's been out in the middle of nowhere building this structure. Nobody really knows what it is, but the ladies talk about it. They all laugh. Everybody makes fun of him." "Why have I never heard," John said, "of Noah?" She said, "You're too busy. You're always doing something. You're working. You got this to do and that to do. And I've never even thought about saying anything to you about it." He said, "Well, you know, he was saying some hard, scary things. He said God was going to open the windows of heaven, open the fountains of the deep. He's going to destroy everything, all the animals and flowers and people and everything. I don't know what to think about that." And she said, "John, he's been doing that a long time. He's crazy." And then he said, "You know," he said, "God was sending it because of our sin. And he's going to flood everything and everybody will drown." She turns and she said, "John, I guess he doesn't know that you're such a good swimmer." And they both laugh. And he sits there in silence for a moment, but his little girl comes up to his side. She climbs up in his lap and said, "Daddy, who is this God that he talked about? Who is this God that's going to destroy everything?" He said, "Honey, don't you believe that? That's not so. He's not. If there's a God and we think there is a God, he's the God who made the flowers. He's the God who makes the sunshine. He's the God who made the birds to sing. He's a good God. Don't you pay any attention to what I said. I was just saying something. Don't you worry. This God's not going to judge us for sin. This God is not going to destroy everything on the face of the earth." She turns and she takes her daddy by the face and she said, "Daddy, you're such a good daddy. You always tell me the truth. You love me so much. I'm so glad you and mommy take good care of me. Thank you for telling me the truth." That night, John Smith can't sleep. "I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll open the fountains of the deep. I will not always strive with man." He remembers all those sayings, everything going through his mind. And then he gets under conviction again. His heart begins to race. He looks out into the sky and sees clouds floating around. And he says, "I wonder if there is a God. I wonder if it's true. I wonder what we need to do." He turns to the table where he's got his wine and he drinks one cup and another and another. In a matter of moments, his body relaxes. He feels sleepy that he might could go back to sleep. And he uses the wine to quench the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. And he lays down in his bed and sleeps. But during that night, he tosses and turns. And he says, in the morning, I'm going to go see for myself. That morning when he comes downstairs, his wife has prepared his lunch for work. He prepared his breakfast. He said, I'm not going to take time to eat now. And I don't need my lunch pail today. I'm going to go find Noah. She said, what do you mean you're not going to go to work? We've got bills to pay. We've got things we want to do. We want to spend money. We have things we want to do with our little girl, places we want to go. You can't afford not to go to work. He said, I'm going. He said, I cannot get it out of my mind. I've got to go see this man, Noah. I've got to go see what's going on and what it's all about. He begins to leave his house and he goes down the house. He sees neighbors and they're happy. The sun's shining, the birds are singing. He said, this is foolishness. This is such foolishness. And so when he gets down the street a little ways, he sees his neighbor and he waves at his neighbor as he goes by. And as he leaves that neighbor, he thinks, Methuselah, my neighbor's name is Methuselah. Why in the world would anybody want to name their son Methuselah? He's about the oldest man in our town. But it means after me, the deluge, after me, the flood, after me, the destruction. What could it mean? John Smith makes his way through the woods and down a little path, going in the direction they told him they'd find Noah. As he goes, he meets different ones on the path. Here comes a man who says, it's not logical. I've heard everything he's got to say. There's no way that can ever happen. He said water was going to fall out of the sky and the ground would erupt and water come out. That's some possibility. That's not logical. There's no way science would disprove everything that that man has to say. In a little bit, he meets a teenager who's laughing and cutting up, and he and his buddy. They said, what are y'all doing? They said, we've been down to see Noah. Man, he's a hoot. We've been throwing rocks at him. We've been calling him names. He's crazy. Man, listen, he said to us that we need to get right. I've got a long time to live. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to have a good time. Matter of fact, I've got a girlfriend. I'm going to go see her right now. And we're going to have a good time today. He goes on a little further. And he sees a religious man coming. And that religious man said, everything he's teaching is fallacy. Everything he's preaching is fallacy. The God that I know is a good God. He's a God of peace and love. He's a God that says all you need to do is take good care of your neighbors and be friendly. And he goes on his way. In a moment, he sees a lady weeping as she goes by. And he stops and says, ma'am, are you okay? She said, how did he know? How did he know? He said, how did he know what? That man, he's preaching. And he talked about our sin. And he talked about people stealing and lying. And then he looked right straight at me and pointed his fingers. And they commit adultery. How did he know? My husband doesn't know. My family doesn't know. Nobody knows. But now everybody knows that I've cheated on my husband, that I've had an affair. And she's weeping. And just a little ways further, he sees another one coming wiping tears. What's wrong with you, ma'am? She said, he scared me. The way he talked and the way he said, and I got my heart got to beating, and I got afraid and thinking about, is there a God and what could God do? But she said, you know what? I've decided it's just emotionalism. I'm just emotional. I'm that way. He goes on his way, and sure enough, after he goes through a patch of woods, there's a clearing. And he didn't expect to see what he sees. He was expecting some small little structure. But this is awesome. He could not believe his sight. It's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. How could that man and his boys do this? I mean, the great crowds gathered, and they're laughing and they're mocking, they're making fun. And John Smith gathers in the crowd. Once again, he makes his way through the crowd and to the front. And strangely, in all of that mass of confusion and chaos, the eyes of Noah fall on John Smith. And he said, John, I remember your name. Did you come to join me in the ark? And John shakes his head slowly. No, but his heart is racing. Conviction's filling his soul. He wonders, is it true? Is it true? Is it true? John Smith gathers his thoughts and he says, Noah, you're crazy. Quit doing this. You're scaring all these children around here. You need to stop doing this. About that time, one of the officials in the community comes by John. He said, I'm going to get this stopped. I'm going to make sure this quits. I'm going to get the authorities to commit this man and do away with all of this. He stands there and John Smith backs into the crowd and listens to the mockery and the cursing and everything that's going on. But just a few minutes later, from the far end near the forest, the crowd begins to be silent. And it's almost like a wave that comes through that whole crowd. John Smith cranes his neck to see as the crowd parts like a mighty wave. And coming out of the forest are all types of animals. They're led, as it seemed, by an unseen hand, and they're making their way toward Noah and the ark. He watches as birds circle and then all of a sudden swoop down and fly into the ark. He stands and watches what seems to be like hours for the steady flow of those animals coming in. And then when the last one has gone in, he stands there. Some in the crowd think they heard a voice. They thought they heard somebody say something. But then they all gasp when that mighty door in the side of that ark begins to close, and it's closed. They're not laughing. They're not making fun. They can't do it now. They one by one file away. John Smith, with his heart racing, turns to go back home. For 7 days, John Smith spends hell on earth. He can't get over it. Every night he gets up wondering, is there a God? Is he going to destroy everything? Who closed that door? Who made all those animals come? What is going on here? I don't understand it. He drinks his wine, but this time it doesn't have any effect on him. It just seems the more he drinks, the more his mind races. He goes in the next few days to talk to that religious leader, and he said he's a heretic. I don't know how he did it. And he said there was some sort of mechanism to close that door. I can't explain the animals coming. I don't know how that is. They just came on their own accord. I don't understand that. But I know this, you don't have a thing to worry about. He goes to other people who are in authority, and they all tell him it's okay. A psychiatrist tells him it's emotionalism. You're okay. On the morning of the seventh day, John Smith awakes with a start. He's fearful. Fear grips his heart immediately. It should be light by now. It's dark. He gets up out of the bed and almost creeps toward the door. His wife said, what's wrong, John? Nothing, just be quiet. He walks outside. There are no birds singing. The sky is black and boiling. He looks up and down the street and his neighbors are looking up. Somebody across the street said, John, what's going on? He said, I don't know. About that time, in a panicked voice, his wife said, John, what's going on? I'm scared. Our little girl is scared. She just got in the bed with me. What is going on? He said, hush, you stay here. You hold on to our little girl. Whatever you do, don't you let her out of your sight. You hold on to her. Where are you going, John? I'm going to go see Noah. I'm going to go to the ark. You stay here. John leaves and runs down the street, and right down the street a crowd is gathered. What's going on? They said, Methuselah. Methuselah just died. As he runs down the road, he's thinking, Methuselah, after me the deluge, after me the judgment, after me the flood, after me, and Methuselah's dead. He runs with all of his might, his heart's racing, his sweat popping all over his brow. He's almost completely exhausted by the time he gets to the ark. Once again, that great mob is gathered, but there's no laughing. There's no cheering. There's no throwing rocks. There's no cursing. It's too, the atmosphere will not allow it. The feeling of death is in the air. The feeling of divine judgment has swept across that whole crowd, and fear has gripped every heart. In just a moment, John stands there in disbelief. Oh God, is it true? Are you real? Are you going to do what he said? About that time, the adulterous woman he'd met a few days before breaks from the crowd and runs to the ark weeping, begins to beat on the side of the ark. Let me in. I'm sorry for my sin. Let me in. John's heart is moved toward her, and he steps out of the crowd as if to beckon her to go to retrieve her from the ark. And when he sticks his hands out, water, drops of water, it's all over the ground. He looks up and the sky is filled. The rain's beginning to fall. It rains beginning to fall. John immediately turns from the crowd and runs as hard as he can. The water's coming down at an amazing rate. It's rising at an amazing rate. The little stream that he went by now is a raging torrent. Now the water's up to his ankles and up to his knees, and it's flooding. He can't believe it. And all of a sudden, the side of the mountain explodes, and debris scattered way in the sky, and like a geyser of water comes out. Another one here, and one down in the flatland. There it goes. And the fountains are deeper open. And he remembers, I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll open the fountains of the deep, and everything in whose nostrils is the breath of life will die. John Smith looks at that raging torrent. There goes the body of the adulterous woman. There are those teenagers that had a long time to live. They're all dead. They're like debris washed in the torrent. There's that religious man. He's nothing but a piece of trash washed away. By the time he gets to his home, the water's waist deep. It's racing. He notices that it's already blown out the back wall of his house. And when he forces his way into the door, his wife is holding the middle post of the house and she's screaming, John, she's gone. She's gone. I tried to hold our little girl, but she's gone. And with that, she loses her grip and she's washed away. John Smith tries to rescue his wife, but he can't fight the water. It's like a raging river. It crashes him through the wall of the house. He struggles and fights and tries to find something to hold on, but it's futile. The water begins to fill his lungs. In a matter of minutes, just a matter of few minutes, John Smith is dead. He was washed away as debris. That's the drowning of John Smith. But that's not the end of the story. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 29. It is appointed to a man once to die, and after that to judgment. Luke 16, 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. John Smith, 1 second after he was dead, would have given anything in the world for a drop of water, because hell's a reality, and those who die go there. In the book of Matthew, in chapter number 24, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 6 and 7, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now. by the same word, kept in store, reserved unto fire against that day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's going to happen again. It won't be a flood. It'll be a fire. It's going to be a horrible, horrific time. But mind you, the God who loved you and gave His Son to die for you will not always strive with man in his flesh. I want you to turn around and look at people up and down your row, all around you. John Smith surveyed a crowd at the ark, friends, neighbors, and people he didn't know. But in a very short time, every person he saw, including himself, would be dead. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you. God loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I promise you, we're on the doorstep of what He said in 2 Peter. He says in the book of 1 Thessalonians, "To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." If you don't know the Lord, He could come today. He said in Matthew, they were eating, drinking, and marrying, and knew not. I've warned you. You know. You know that your days are numbered. The days of this world are numbered. And it could begin today. I'm asking you and the media audience in this building, if you do not know 100% sure you're saved, that today you'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But those of you who are saved, because you love people, because you love your family, Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men." Everybody on your row, everybody in this building will have to face God. They have, if they're not saved, they'll be left at the rapture. They'll have to face hell on earth in the tribulation period and ultimate destruction from the presence of the Lord. I want you to bow your heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're not going to sing an invitation, Brother Vaughn, but if we could have just the music to play for a moment. My wife have sung in days gone by when I preached this message a song. We really didn't have time to get it together or find it. But it's an old song that was sang several years ago. The title is, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." I wish we'd all been ready. It's coming one of these days. It happened during the days of Noah. It's going to happen again. I beg you in Jesus' name, if you don't know 100% sure you're saved, Tim and Justin will be right down at the front. They'll help you. There are ladies who will help the ladies. And I want to encourage you, you may be a visitor or a guest, but don't leave here lost. What I've said to you is going to happen. In the mountains of North Carolina, not so many months ago, about 6 months ago now, we'd heard there was a storm coming, a hurricane. That's a little novel thing to happen in the mountains of North Carolina, but it has in the past. They're used to rain. They were used to some flooding. But what hit western North Carolina, they never expected. And it's going to hit this whole world. And I'm telling you, His Spirit will not always strive with man into His flesh. And I, right now, if I were you, if I had any question, I'd want to make sure I saved. And for those of us who are saved, I don't want Him to meet me with anything in my heart and life. I don't want any bitterness. I don't want any jealousy. I don't want any unconfessed sin. When He comes, I'd encourage you to come. you have lost loved ones, you need to have an urgency to pray for them now, this morning. Let's stand together. And as the music plays, I'm going to ask you to come. Gather around the altar, stand or kneel. If God spoke to your heart, I trust that God will give you what you need today to save you if you're lost and to forgive you if you're a Christian and cleanse you, or to encourage your heart as a believer to be faithful, to keep witnessing and keep telling the story. Heavenly Father, now in the strong name of Jesus, I rebuke every devil and every demon and plead the blood of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Don't let people make excuses. Don't let them say, I'm as good as anybody else. But God, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God would break hearts and people would respond. And I'll thank you. As you stand with your heads bowed, I encourage you to begin right now to come. Be obedient to Christ. Whatever He tells you to do, just come.